So guys, today we're going to be continuing our series and actually concluding a series of messages we started about 2 weeks ago called The Promise. And this message series has been really amazing for a lot of different reasons. The Promise is really about the fact that Jesus Christ told us that it would be advantageous, it would be to our advantage that he leave this earth so that the Holy Spirit would come. And so we've talked about the fact that the Holy Spirit has been our helper, the person of the Holy Spirit, that he is here to help us and to guide us. And last week we talked about the purpose of the Holy Spirit, and we used a very simple question to really articulate the purpose of the Holy Spirit. And the question that we gave you last week was, how much of God do you want in your life? How much of God do you want in your life? And we ask that question because we know that our life sometimes looks like Swiss cheese. That means that there are places in our life where God is void. You guys familiar with Swiss cheese? It tastes really good, but you should get a discount because half of it's missing. And this week we're going to be talking about the power of the Holy Spirit. And a question that I have for you today is, and I just want to give you a Bible verse to open up to as we get into this. It's in Matthew chapter 21. Hopefully you brought a Bible or you've got a smartphone, and if not, we'll have it on the screen for you. But the question for today is simply, how much will you allow God to use you? Will you allow God to use you? Now, that's an interesting thought, at least for me, because if you've known me or any part of my story, there are huge chunks of my life where I would have never imagined God would want to use a person like me. I was mean, I was a drunk, I was a womanizer, I used drugs, I was a liar, I was a manipulator, I was a controller. How could God use a person like this? I had bitterness, unforgiveness, all kinds of things in my life. But what I quickly realized is that God loves to change a story around that's going in a wrong direction into a right direction. And we serve a God who gives second, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth chances, and more than that, doesn't he? Can somebody say amen? Amen. And the amazing thing to me is that God would use me, under-equipped, not ready, but still God would use me. And he uses us through the Holy Spirit. Last week we talked about how God, the Holy Spirit, wants to develop and cultivate a relationship with you. And how you can have a relationship where God, well, he will guide you and direct you and lead you, and he will help you to make right decisions if you allow him to be that in your life. And today, even last week, was all about you. Today is a lot less about you. We don't like things that are not much about us, do we? But I want to talk to you just for a little bit about a story in the Bible, an example, a passage in the Bible. It's really about a man that you've never known. Man that has no name. Really a person that we know very little about except for this passage in the Bible. And just to set this up, I'm going to tell you a little bit about my kids. I have kids that like to fight over things. I don't know how many of you probably got or raised perfect angels, and they never did anything wrong, and they've grown up to be amazing people. Well, in my house, it's not like that. In my house, we have four children, and about every 5 minutes, someone is screaming because someone stole something that belonged to the other person. And I have very greedy children. We didn't teach them to be that way, but somehow they found themselves to be that way, and they don't like to share very much. And we don't change too much when we get older, do we? Well, there's a guy in the Bible that, believe it or not, he was very unselfish. And I just want to take a couple of minutes to look at this guy in the Bible. This is in Matthew chapter 21. I'm going to read a short passage of Scripture to you, and you might be familiar with this passage of Scripture. This is the time in the Bible where Jesus is about to enter into the city of Jerusalem, and people were beginning to lay down palm branches and to shout out his name and say, Hosanna in the highest. And it was a really big deal that Jesus was coming into town, riding into town in the way he did. And we find this in Matthew chapter 21. It says, when they had approached Jerusalem and had come to Bethpage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey. Everybody say donkey. Tied there and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them. And immediately he will send them. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Now, I find this passage of scripture very interesting. We don't know a lot about the man who had the donkeys. The only thing we know is that he had donkeys and there were two of them. We don't know if he was a rich man or if he was a poor man. We don't know if he was about to go through a divorce. We don't know if he had a lot of kids. We don't know if he was a donkey herder. We don't know if these were the only two donkeys that he had, which kind of puts us in an interesting place. All we know is that Jesus needed these donkeys. Now, the Bible goes on to talk about that he needed these two donkeys to fulfill prophecy that came from the prophet Zechariah. And in this prophecy, it said that the Messiah would ride into town on two donkeys. And what's interesting about that is that a king sometimes would ride into town on horses if he was about to go into battle, if he was about to go into war. But the king would only ride donkeys if he was about to bring peace. And so we find that Jesus was making a symbolic gesture in fulfilling prophecy by saying that he would be a king that would bring peace, and he needed these donkeys. And it's amazing to me that this man who we don't know, he stays anonymous. And a quick thought is, are you willing to be anonymous so that Jesus can be famous? Are you willing to be anonymous, unrecognized, not getting the props, not getting the credit that's due to you? You know, he had to be a man just like us, but something lets me know that when he found out that the Lord needed something from him, his current situation didn't matter. Whatever he was going through at the time didn't matter. How rich, how poor, how many donkeys he had really didn't matter. The main thing was that the Lord needed something from him. The thing I know about all of us is that at some point in our life, God will say, I have need of something in your life. All of us have donkeys in our life. Something that God wants to put his hand on. Something that he wants to possess. And the reason why he wants it is so that he can get glory from it. See, a lot of times we have become very selfish and we don't want anybody touching our stuff. Sometimes not even God. But this man in the Bible who had the donkeys, he gave them over to Jesus so that Jesus could get the glory. Jesus could get the credit. Jesus could be recognized. And this is what the Holy Spirit does in our lives. He works through us so that Jesus can get the glory. Now, the thing about this is that sometimes God will not only use the good things in our life to get glory, but he will also use the bad things in our life to get glory. He will use the things that we wonder why they even happened in the first place to get glory. Many of you guys know I had a heart attack several months ago now, and I talk about this because I almost died. And through the process of my recovery and staying in the hospital, unbeknownst to me, God was getting glory through a heart attack that I had. Person after person, people after people would come to me or my wife and talk about how they started to contemplate their own life and where they were with God, and how if you almost died as a 38-year-old man, Life must be really short. Life must be precious. And the fact that God gave me another chance brought God glory. And I'm wondering, has God ever wanted to use something in your life to give himself glory? See, last week we talked about cultivating a relationship with God and how we talked about we can have a very tender, intimate relationship with God. And this is very foreign for some people, but God wants to talk to you all the time. For some of us, he wants to remind us how much he loves us, and sometimes we need that. Sometimes he wants to give us advice and wisdom, and we can have that kind of relationship with God through the Holy Spirit. And we talked all last week about that, but this week is a little bit different. This week is less about us, but yet it's still all about us in a way. See, God wants to use you. If you have given your life over to Jesus, we had a little disclaimer at the beginning of this series that everything that we're talking about is through the lens of a born-again Christian. That means that we have made peace with God. God has forgiven us of our sins as we have trusted Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And as a result of that, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us. The Holy Spirit is the third person in the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Essentially, God gave us God inside of us so that we could worship the God who saved us. Does that make sense to you? The same God, but he works inside of us right now through the Holy Spirit because Jesus still wants to get glory. Did you know that God loves the world? Are you familiar with John 3:16, the most famous scripture in all of history, is that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, and he wants to get glory. He wants to make Jesus known to the world because he doesn't want anybody to perish separated from God. But here's the big question of the day. Who do you think God is going to use to share the good news about Jesus? One person. Who do you think God wants to use in this world to share the good news about Jesus? That's right. And for many of you, you instantly got really uncomfortable. Many of us get uncomfortable because the Holy Spirit will sometimes challenge us to do things that go beyond our level of comfort. Have you ever been in a grocery store checkout line or around somebody and for some reason you have this inclination, this feeling that the person in front of you or beside you needs to be encouraged? They just need to know that God loves them. And you don't know why you're feeling this. You don't know why you're thinking this. That is the Holy Spirit inside. It's not because you're a great person. It's not because you're so compassionate. It's because God knows everything. We talked before in this church about how God is omniscient. He's all-knowing. He knows what's going on with you, but he also knows what's going on with everybody else. So he knows if somebody in your life is struggling. He knows if somebody around you needs encouragement. And you, if you're a born-again Christian with the Holy Spirit living inside of you, the Holy Spirit will push you ever so gently to get uncomfortable enough to share something encouraging with somebody who needs it. Somebody say amen. Amen. Has anybody ever done that to you before? Happens to me all the time, and I thank God that it happens. It's like you're thirsty in the desert, and when someone encourages you, somebody reminds you of God's great love. It's like water in the desert. Reminds you that you are not alone, that God is with you. See, the great power of the Holy Spirit, a lot of times we get caught up in church and we read chapters like 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and it talks about gifts of the Spirit and it talks about how God wants to Give us words of wisdom and words of knowledge and faith and healings and miracles and prophecies and discerning of spirits and different kinds of tongues and interpretation of tongues. And sometimes this divides the church into different denominations. And sometimes we can be so focused on our differences that we forget it's not as much about the gift as it is about the purpose and the giver himself. And the Holy Spirit does all of these things so that Jesus Christ can get glory and so that he could be known. But we don't like to be uncomfortable, do we? Isn't it amazing that Jesus died on a cross for our sins? He loved us so much. The Bible says that even while we were still in our sin, Christ died for us. Meaning that when we were so unlovable, he showed the greatest display of love. And we were eternally forgiven and given the opportunity to have a relationship with God and to be called children of God. And God comes to live inside of us to have a relationship with us. And then he asks us to do something and we get uncomfortable. You know, there's a difference between being comfortable and being content. See, a lot of people in church have become very comfortable. We have become comfortable to the point of we'll come to church. We may say a prayer before we eat. Some of us may read a chapter of the Bible every blue moon, and we become comfortable with that. But as soon as God, someone, the pastor, the church, starts asking us to do things outside of our level of comfort, we get extremely uncomfortable. Why are y'all looking at me so mean? Sometimes in a church, we'll make announcements about a mission trip. Like, oh, go to somewhere in the world. And there's a little part of many of us that will say, you need to go. Something about it is exciting. Something about it is thrilling. Something about it is the Holy Spirit pushing you to go into all the world. It's a novel concept that the Holy Spirit would tell us to do what Jesus told us to do, right? But then we start to reason. Well, I've got the kids and how am I going to afford it? And how am I going to take off work? And we talk ourselves out of the thing that the Holy Spirit is pushing us to do. Sometimes, and I can guarantee in a church this size, that many of us have had this inclination to give money. For some of us, a specific amount of money. And the Holy Spirit is the one pushing us to do that. But then we begin to reason and talk ourselves out of it. Maybe it's a church, maybe it's a homeless person, maybe it's an organization, and we allow ourselves to talk ourselves out of what the Holy Spirit is doing. But did you know in 1 Corinthians, I'm going to read a verse of the Bible to you, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, said, did you not know that you yourselves are a temple of the Holy Spirit? I've always found that fascinating, Pastor Ron, that we are a temple of the Holy Spirit. So y'all may not recognize it right now, but all in here resides the Holy Spirit. And he has desires. He has a will. He has things that he wants us to do. I'm going to give you an example. Now, how many of you guys know that sometimes plans don't go the way that you want them to? I had some plans for you today. See, I love third service. I had a plan for you today. I went to Walmart, and I was going to buy a whole bunch of Legos. You guys like Legos? Yes. My kid, how many of your kids like Legos? You like Legos? Sometimes Legos are the devil. You ever stepped on a bunch of these bad boys barefoot? Yes. You would think that Satan himself was working around the clock in the Lego factory. That's exactly right. And kids fight over them. My kids fight over these things. I was going to go get a whole bunch of Legos. What I found out is the Lego people tricked me. When you buy a box of blue Legos are not all that's in the box. There's white Legos, there's doors, There's wheels. There's all kinds of stuff. So I ended up buying a bunch of different Legos, but not enough to necessitate the entire church. So I want you to imagine with me. I want you to use your imagination. Kids are good at this, and sometimes as we grow up, our imagination doesn't work that well. But I want you to do that. Can you do that with me? Can you say yes, if you will? I want you to hold out your hand in the palm, the palm up. And I want you just to use your imagination for me, just for a few moments. Imagine a Lego piece being right in the palm of your hand. And I'm going to give you some options. You pick the color. Some of you are going to have blue Legos. Some of you are going to have green Legos. Some of you are going to have red Legos. And some of you are going to have yellow. You pick the color that you want for your Lego. If my kids were on the front row, they'd be arguing over whose Lego was bigger. Now, pay attention to your Lego, what color it is, because the color is going to be very important to what we're going to be doing. See, God wants to use you. And this Lego is a representation of something very tender and very important to the heart of God. Now, take a look at your Lego for a second. If you have a blue Lego, I want you to raise your hand. Say, let's look around at all the blue Legos. This represents something very important. The blue Lego represents someone in this city, someone in the city of Clarksville that God wants to give you an appointment with to share your story, to share the good news of the gospel, to share an encouragement somewhere in this city. It could be at your job, could be in your neighborhood, could be at a school, could be at the checkout line, at the grocery store. And what's going to happen, I can guarantee you, is you're going to be at one of these places in our city, and the Holy Spirit's going to start talking. And because he knows what people are going through, and you're right there, he's going to give you an opportunity to encourage that person, to share good news with that person. And you're going to have a choice. Are you going to listen and yield yourself over to the Holy Spirit? Or are you going to listen to that other voice? Y'all know what the other voice sounds like? You ain't got time for that. You're too busy. I don't even know them. They're going to think I'm crazy. I don't even really know if it's God. Just to let you know, if God wants to encourage somebody, if you hear an encouraging voice in your head, that is not the devil. Okay, that is not the devil. He doesn't make a habit of blessing people's life with encouraging words. All right. Who has a green Lego brick? All right, raise it up proud. You got a green Lego brick. That means somewhere in this state, there's someone God wants to connect you with. It may not be in Montgomery County, but a lot of us like to go to Nashville. You want to see a Predators game. You want to go to Opry Mills. You want to go to someplace like that. And you're in line at one of these places. The last thing you are thinking about is being used by the Holy Spirit. But I want to let you know that he wants to use you wherever you are, whenever you are. If you're going through good times, if you're going through bad times, look, if he will save you in your sin, he will use you in your difficulty. Now, who has a red brick? You raise your hand. Lots of red bricks. Red bricks means somewhere in this nation, maybe in another state. Maybe in Kentucky. Dear God, maybe even in Arkansas. God wants to use you. I'm just joking. We love the what do they call the Razorbacks? We love them. All right. Moving right along. Have you ever been on an airplane? Some of these red brick people have been on an airplane. And you know that awkward moment when you get on an airplane and you sit beside a stranger? And you don't know if they're going to talk to you the whole time or not. And then you try to pull open a book and act like you're not really there. Or you put on your headphones and you try to pretend like they're not there at all. It could very well be that that person is the person that God put you next to for a reason. It could be that out of the 7 billion people on the planet, that God strategically orchestrated you to be on that flight, on that airline, in that seat, beside that person. And it very well could be that your story is very much like their story. But you have a God who gives hope and gives peace and restoration and healing no matter what you've gone through or are going through. And that person needs to hear it. Last one, the yellow brick. Who's got the yellow brick? Follow the yellow brick road, a few of you. Now, the yellow bricks represent the world. Somewhere in the world, God is calling you. Some of you is on a deployment. Some of you, it could be on a mission trip. Some of you, it could be on a vacation to Cancun. Uh-oh. Now, the last thing you were thinking about on your vacation to Cancun is all you can do to bring Jesus glory. Y'all know what you do when you go to Cancun. I remember what I was thinking of when I was in high school if somebody gave me a ticket to go to Cancun. But no matter where you are or where you're going, God wants to bring glory to Jesus Christ through you. He wants to use your marriage, good or bad. He wants to use your history, good or bad. He wants to use your personality and all that it is. God wants to use you. Somebody say amen to that. If you could stand up just for a second. Pastor Ron, you can come on up. For me personally, I gave my life to Jesus Christ when I was 25 years old, and I had no clue what that meant. I knew that Jesus loved me, and I wanted Jesus to help me in my life, but I didn't know that God would one day want to use me. And a few years ago, I wound up on the side of a mountain in the nation of Haiti, talking to a watermelon farmer with a sickle. Now, that's probably not the dream for most of you guys. But what happened was very amazing. Traveled a couple thousand miles, walk up the side of this mountain, and we stumbled upon this guy who was out in his field harvesting watermelons. And he came over to us, and immediately I felt that God was saying something to me. It's that this man had been searching for God. I didn't speak the language. I don't speak Creole. But I didn't have to. We had an interpreter, and I said, I don't know this man, and he interpreted that. And I said, I feel like you've been searching for God. And this man dropped his sickle. And he said, you know, it's funny that you say that in Creole. And they translated. He said, I've been thinking about going to church for the last week or two. And I said, don't you think it's ironic that God would send me 2,000 miles from my home to find you on the side of a mountain, a man who has been searching, thinking about God, and now I ask you about that. Do you think that's a coincidence? I don't think so. And God wants to use all of it. We led that man to Christ that day. Something about the fact that God had not forgotten him and that God was willing to bring somebody else around to confirm something that his heart had been longing for and searching for. God wants to use you today. God wants your donkeys today. He wants to utilize all that you are, all that you have, so that he would get glory. I just want to pray for you today. Maybe you're here today and you're at a place in your life where you're very comfortable. For some of you, just being here is very uncomfortable. For some of you, you may have not stepped in the foot of a door except for the last week or month or 2 or 3 months. This is a giant step for you. For others, you've gotten to a place of comfort. Going to church is not a challenge anymore. Saying your prayer before your meal is not a challenge. The Holy Spirit is desiring more of you. He wants you to talk to the people that represent that yellow, red, blue, green Lego brick. He wants you to give him glory, and sometimes we don't naturally want to do that. He wants to use you today. If you're here today and you've gotten to a place of being comfortable and you're ready for God through the Holy Spirit to bring you at a place to bring him more glory, and even though it may be more uncomfortable, you are saying today, you know what? I want to be in a place to be utilized by God. If that's you today, I want to pray for you. That's a very uncomfortable prayer. It's a very uncomfortable desire. But it's so much fun. If that's you today, I want to pray for you. You can just raise your hands if that's you. Thank you. Thank you around this church. Father, I pray for my friends. I first of all pray that if there are people in here that don't know you fully, if they've not allowed you to become the Lord of their life, meaning that you are the boss in every area of their life, I pray today, God, that my friends who don't know you would give their life to Jesus Christ. Simply turn over control of their life over to you. And you promise us that the Holy Spirit would come in. If that's you today, you can say a prayer under your breath that you want Jesus to be your Lord. But for all my friends that are holding up their hands right now, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come and challenge. I believe even through the course of this message, many of you have been challenged by the voice of the Holy Spirit. For some of you, it's to give. Some of you, it's to serve. To some of you, it's to go. Reason will try to talk you out of what God wants you to do. My prayer is that you would heed the voice of God, that you would hear his voice and know that the voice of the Holy Spirit is peaceful, brings comfort, he brings joy, he's patient, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. The fruit of the Spirit are magnified as we yield ourselves over to the Holy Spirit. God, I pray that you would empower every person, God, to heed your voice, to obey what you say, in Jesus' name. Can everybody say amen? Can you say amen again? Let's give the Lord a big praise. Thank you. Guys, thank you so much for being here. I just wanted to give you one last announcement. Our Rush Youth Ministry, their last meeting will be tonight. So if you've got a high school, middle school student coming, tonight is the last one. I'd like to invite our prayer team up front. If you have any needs whatsoever where you would like prayer, we'll have a team of people up here to pray with you right after the service. God bless you. You are dismissed. We'll see you next week. Don't forget to invite a friend.